Feral Audio.
It's time for another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. Hello. Oh, so much going on in the world. It's terrifying to be alive. So I want to start. I have a very exciting show coming at you, hot and fresh, like a piece of pizza. But I want to talk about somebody who recently passed away, who is a comedy legend, who has influenced so many people, and I would feel remiss if I didn't give him a shout out. Someone that I did get to meet a few times, but who influenced me for my entire life. And that is someone named Gary Austin, who founded the Groundlings Theater in the early 70s. I mean, I think the theater was founded in 74, but he created the whole thing. And the amount of people, I talk about the Groundlings a lot of, everyone from, Lorraine Newman and Pee Wee Herman to Phil Hartman to Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry and Jennifer Coolidge and Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig. It's an insane long list of people who have come from that theater. It was sort of his idea. He was super hippy dippy guy in the 70s, and he had these workshops, and it was just like he was the one to sort of come up with the idea of, like, let's do characters, let's put on wigs and be these people, instead of come up with jokes and writing ideas and being very concept based. And it was this California ideal of let's sort of get into the soul of these people. What makes them tick? What is their point of view? And that's to this day written through the Groundlings Theater, and it's why I think the place has churned out so many great character actors, who are actors as well as funny people who aren't just clever. Many of whom really will tell you they're not clever at all. Who just are about these people. I have a guest, actually both of my guests coming up, one of whom, Tom Link, and I have done all kinds of sketch comedy and crazy characters together. And then Chloe Fineman, who was years ago a student of mine, who now is doing all these amazing characters. And so he's influenced all of our work. When I was in college, I saw a movie called Go, and there was one person who had three lines in that movie. And I was like, I want to do what she is doing, because she was so funny and so brilliant and fully realized in three lines. And her name is Melissa McCarthy. And I came out to LA to visit, and I walked into the Groundlings Theater, and I saw all these familiar faces on the wall. And I was like, this place, this looks really cool. This looks like exactly what I want to do. And I saw that Melissa McCarthy was in the Sunday Company at the time. And that was like kind of sealed the deal for me. And I started taking classes there. And it was the hardest, craziest training. I had to repeat so many levels. And all I wanted to do when I was there was just I wanted to know those people forever. I wanted to be able to do that kind of work forever. I had never done improv before, and I fell into it like in a crazy nerd kind of culty way. And I wanted to take as many classes as I could. But it was hard for me. I was very young, and I didn't really know a lot about who I was. And I learned a lot, and I cut my teeth there, and I met so many incredible people, and just some of the funniest people that I've ever known, and many of whom are huge stars now, or who are working all the time. And I was just incredibly thankful for getting to go through all of that. I got to do the Sunday Company, which is something you do when you get into that. You're in a show for 6 months, and every Sunday you have to put up new material, and you at the end of that 6 months, you get voted on whether you can stay or you get cut. And I got to do that three times. I got to do it for a year and a half and get to be in this amazing group of people. And then at the end of your year and a half, you're voted on whether you get to be in the main company of the Groundlings or not. And I didn't get in, and I was crushed. And in retrospect, realizing why I was really upset was that I just wanted to know those people forever. And I was like, oh God, I hope this doesn't mean goodbye. Like, I can't know people and work with these people forever. And it ended up being a really good thing for me. I also ended up being asked to come back and be a teacher and perform there a lot. And so it was actually a very, very good thing for me, which I have talked about a lot. And I don't have to get into all that career-wise, but it made me kind of go out on a limb and do my own thing and go and meet other people and work at other great theaters like UCB, which is an incredible place as well. And I learned so much, and I learned to not give a shit at UCB. The Groundlings was terrifying and hard, and UCB was like, go out there, balls out, do it. And so I learned a lot there as well. And so I'm just forever grateful for the fact that, like, I have gotten to know and work with some of the greatest, weirdest, most sensitive and human people in the world, who happen to be the most hilarious and brilliant people. And that's all because this guy named Gary Austin was like, I want to form a theater. And he did that, and he's brought thousands and thousands of people together. And I mean, I met him in passing a couple times, and we were never close. He was never a teacher of mine. He was not really that involved in the theater, although he would always come back and do shows there, and he was very proud to call it his home. And and I'm very proud to have been part of the history, and I just want to thank Gary. He had a long battle with cancer, so this is a long time coming, and it was, I know people were very sad to see him go, but also, thankful that he's not suffering anymore. And so anyway, I want to thank Gary for all of it. Yay. I'm sitting here with the delightful Chloe Fineman and Tom Link. How are you guys?
Good.
Feeling precious.
What precious. Wonderful. Yeah. You both look precious. We all showed up with a lot of drinks today.
A lot of.
Chloe, you had a full, giant jug of that iced coffee from Peter
Concentrate. Not,
concentrate.
It's just the concentrate.
It's the thing you pour a little thimble
around.
Of.
You take small sips?
No, yeah. I portion it.
You partition it?
Oh my God. 7, 11, 4.
I love your like Ma Joe.
Yeah.
I partition it. And then I skin a mouse and serve it to my family.
Uh-huh. And then I play with my jug band afterwards.
It is so awful tasting.
Oh my God,
it's really
it.
Strong.
I love it. It's so great. And Tom, you had also an iced coffee? Is that what you have?
This one's a nitro. It's it's like fizzy coffee.
Yeah, fizzy coffee.
Sure.
Or whatever.
It's more expensive.
So why is it
coffee.
Fizzy? What
makes they put nitrogen in it, which makes it a little bit bubbly. And it's supposed to be like sort of like coffee beer. It's like beer. It has like a head to it.
Oh, right. Fun. I had a full kombucha trilogy. So
a full. Dark
some
bottle
very drunk.
Or light bottle?
A dark bottle.
Oh, rage.
So
you have to be carded for that.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what that is.
Oh, so mm-hmm. I might be kind of drunk.
You're a little lit.
I love it. We've got to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
It's our thing to do in LA. It's just we have
Burbank,
liquids.
I think, is the hottest part of LA. It's too hot.
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one.
The heat is on in Burbank, as they say.
Hot sandwiches.
Oh.
Raw talent.
Hot sandwiches and raw talent. Is that the name of your forthcoming book?
That's Burbank.
Hi. I'm Judy Kier, mayor of Burbank, home of hot sandwiches and raw talent. You may have seen me on episodes of Police Woman and Matlock.
Nurse.
I played a nurse. I was also on my own show called Nurse.
I'm also working on a one-woman show.
And I'm the mayor. And I make sandwiches. Oh, I'm definitely drunk. I feel wasted.
I went to a sandwich shop in Burbank, and there was one person. There was the person ringing you up and serving you was also the person making the sandwiches.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was
one stop shop.
An hour and a half to eat.
Isn't that so weird? You go some places and you're like, what is going on? I may as well just go over to someone's kitchen. Because they're starting everything from scratch.
It's true. Everything was from scratch and everything was burning. He burnt everything.
Some of the very hot sandwiches.
Yeah, hot sandwiches. Yeah, hot
places
sandwich.
Where your eyes are stinging when you're eating because of the burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Like a burning panini press. Yeah.
A bad panini. There's nothing worse.
There's nothing worse.
It's like so much bread and it's kind of cold. It usually involves a sun-dried tomato, which is surefire way to fuck up a tomato. Yeah. I hate sun-dried tomatoes.
I hate them too. They're
just
so
like,
gross.
Don't dry it out.
A
and they're sweet
great.
And yeah.
And farty. They're like
so
weird,
farty.
They're just like weirdly like just like chewy and I don't know. I can't.
Yeah. I even hate raisins. Give me a grape.
Yeah.
Don't kill the grape.
Don't kill, I know.
Just give me the fresh grape.
I want a fresh
grape. We have the technology to do that now.
But just like, you know what I mean? Just like, it's just all bread and it's just, mm-hmm. it's like on this, and it's cheese that hasn't quite melted because the bread's too thick and it's in a panini.
And then they put the lettuce on so the lettuce gets hot.
No, no, thank you. Oh, bad sandwiches.
Bad sandwiches.
Nothing worse. And always, every time I think of Kevin Kirkpatrick, our friend, do you know Kevin Kirkpatrick?
Yeah,
oh, of course you do.
Big fan.
He hates sandwiches.
Really?
And I think it's
what?
The, because, and I love sandwiches and we've gotten into it before, but he's like, he like thinks they're like trash. Like, he's like, why would you eat a sandwich? Like, you're going to go to lunch. You're going to go to a lunch little restaurant. And it's such a weird, I love that about him.
It is like a weird thing to order.
Also,
like,
you have to eat it with your hands. It's very archaic.
But I will, like a good sandwich I can love.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm also like very critical of a bad sandwich. But I always think of him as one of those things. Just like, wow, I love that his just opinion is like, oh, why would you just go? Like, he's like, you can make a sandwich at home. I think it's like, why would you go to the, like, if you're going to go out to eat, why eat a sandwich?
Yeah.
But there's something to the art of the sandwich, especially when it's done well, when maybe the meat and the cheese are warm, but the tomato and the lettuce are crisp and cold.
Uh-huh. Right.
The textures.
That's sophisticated.
And they're not even the right like portions. Because when I make my own sandwiches, I use the tomatoes are usually too thick or or something.
You want a professionally sliced tomato.
Thank you.
You do.
Thank you.
You know, the yin and yang of a fine sandwich is.
I agree.
It's
something to be studied and honored.
Mm-hmm. 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 Exactly. And I love going to like Mendocino Farms and spending $30.
Yep. That one with like the fake fried chicken sandwich at Mendocino Farms.
Oh my God. Ew. Yeah.
It's delicious. It's
really?
Come on.
I don't do
effing delicious.
You don't do sandwiches
I don't
either.
Do, sandwiches.
Do you do salads and soups?
I do salads and soups.
Well, that's all the time we have today on our show. Thank you. My God, I love it. What's going on? How's life? What are you guys, what are you up to?
So, how's your pilot season?
Oh my God. So many bookings.
So many bookings.
Oh my God. Todd
so
Masterson said that he's like, the meanest thing. I thought it was my own. I tweeted it because I thought it was my own thought. And then I realized that he had said it to me and I had to quickly delete it. But he said, the meanest thing you can say to someone in Los Angeles is, so how's your pilot season? Because it's like, it's begging to be like,
yeah.
So
you have to ask them. And they're like, it's been really great.
I know. Testing
so much.
I know.
I have friends who do the hat. They like hashtag like bookwork, hashtag audition,
hashtag set life.
Hashtag amateur.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's
hashtag
so
did your mom win the lottery? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, are you a professional? It's like you're working sometimes and you're not.
Yeah.
And I hate that kind of shit so much. It's so boring to talk about it.
There's nothing exciting
it's
about
like,
it.
Gross. It's so like, it's just like, oh my God. Nowhere else do people
braggy.
Just like constantly. I know I was at lunch today and this guy just next to me, it's just, I mean, if I heard ABC Family one more time, and I wanted to turn around and be like, it's not even a thing anymore.
Yeah,
it's called Freeform now.
Okay.
But
they
he's but like, who cares?
Yeah.
But it was just about like all these people that loved his idea and this idea and this idea and this is za, 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 za. And I was like, meanwhile, eat your goddamn hot sandwich.
Eat that Sammy.
Eat your dumb sandwich.
Those are perfect tomatoes.
Because like, truly, like this, I just get where I'm like, I'm so not thirsty for that kind of shit. And so when people do that, I get immediately, I recoil. And I'm like, I don't know. I get really awkward. And I'm like, I want to get out of this conversation.
Yeah.
It's also something that only really hot people say. How's your pilot season?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, like, oh, okay, that's what this is.
So
this
busy.
Is what it's made for people like you.
Right.
Yeah, CW exactly. people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Freeform people.
They do print. Not freeform.
I love it. But it's all too much. Mm-mm. It's all too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to the summer. It's pretty much summer. It's already here.
Yeah.
Chloe and I have been doing a show together that closes this weekend.
Fabulous.
We close. And I'm having the best time with that, but I'm also like ready to be done.
Yeah, what are
it's
you gonna
hilarious.
Do?
Taking a break. Thank you.
Are you gonna treat yourself? Or?
I'm going to New York and Berlin.
Oh, cool!
In the summer. I just found out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh
so
God.
I'm very excited.
My sister's in Berlin right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never been. I've
Working
never been.
Working vacation
looks so
or
yeah,
cool.
a little bit, a little bit. But
they're
it's
ahead.
Gonna be mainly ahead.
They're ahead.
Oh, I don't think I'll
it's
like it.
It's very deconstructed.
No, thank you.
Lots of the sandwich is actually looking incredible. It's like all she's doing in Berlin.
I'm going to enjoy about a month off from just doing theater because I've been going and doing that a lot, which is like great. And
yeah.
I love it. I'm a great time.
Yeah,
but
and you kill.
My body's hard. My body's hard.
My body's hard.
It's very
that's
hard.
That's the way to put
These
it.
Joints.
My body's very hard. How's your pilot season?
My body's hard.
Sorry, my body's hard.
My body has completely calcified.
That's how it feels.
I can't.
Today I had to shave my legs for the last time this week of the show. I sliced my legs so disgustingly.
We can see the blood.
There's literally
seeping
blood
through.
Seeping through my jeans.
The denim.
And that's just like, because I'm just like, it's time to be done.
Yeah.
It's time to not do this for a while.
You did your workout.
Thank you.
You know, you did. You got those laps in.
I did. Yeah. Chloe, what's going on with you? What's going on?
Well, I told you I locked myself out of my apartment last night.
Okay. That's just...
My friend's in town, and I just saw her on Instagram. She's just getting really high. And she's the one who
was
the
it's 420
key.
Today.
It's 420. She's just
yeah,
fucking...
Yeah, this will come out next week.
But so, yeah, it's 420 yes. today.
Happy 420, belated, yeah. everyone listening. Yeah. yeah.
But did you get back into your apartment, or do you sleep in the car?
I was down to sleep in the car. She wanted to rent a motel, and I'm like, we don't do that in L.A.
No.
No one does that. You
no,
can't just
next
like...
thing you know, it's like, what happened to Chloe? Well, she sold her body for meth after one night in a hotel.
One night in
really
that
bad.
One motel. Are there even motels? Only
no,
in
mean,
Burbank, I guess.
No, I just think
hotel tonight.
What's that Elle Fanning movie where there's a jaguar in the
right.
bathroom?
Yeah,
and then
right,
the bedroom,
right.
the neon demon. That's what I think of. Have you seen that movie?
God, no.
Oh God, you must. It's horrible. It's the guy that directed Drive, and it's so over
right,
the top
with,
and stupid, and like there's cannibalism and lesbianism.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Jenna Malone's a dyke.
Oh great.
And,
oh yeah.
And there's like pushing each other into swimming pools with no water in them, and like girl cracking models. Cracking apart and losing their minds. And there's one scene where like Elle Fanning for whatever reason has to live in a motel in Sherman Oaks
what?
Is what they say, but it looks like just the grossest part of Hollywood.
Yeah,
you're like,
well,
this is not
Sherman,
Sherman
Oaks.
Oaks.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
I guess
it's nice.
It's a very nice Sherman Oaks.
Sherman
it's no
Oaks.
Burbank.
It's no Burbank.
And,
they've got a Macy's.
And there's one super shit, and Keanu Reeves is her landlord, and
I'm
of
out.
Course,
of course,
and
he had
she
to
opens
take
the door
one
day, and there's like a cougar or a leopard in the room for no reason.
Oh my God,
it's just crazy. It's just brought to you by cocaine.
It's a cocaine play.
It's cocaine play.
Actually, speaking of cocaine, I'm in a stand-up class with some much older women.
Are they all doing cocaine jokes?
She was like, oh yeah. Well, one of the women just diagnoses everybody.
Oh my God, I love it. Can I please come and watch?
I feel like you should because this girl went up and was talking about her brother and this woman's like, well, he has Asperger's. And if he has Asperger's, so does your father.
What?
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
Also, like, you can't diagnose people.
You
also,
can't,
like,
also,
it's
like,
their family.
You can't diagnose common, like,
no.
jokes. It's just
right,
jokes.
Right, jokes, exactly.
And it's not all diagnosis.
I know.
So when she
yeah,
went,
she sounds hilarious.
She's hilarious. Right, so she, like, did her stuff. No one's laughing. It's all, like, really dark. And then she's like, well, I did.
I would be screaming.
Right, you would die. And then she goes, well, I did do cocaine for 3 years.
Oh, for just three years.
And,
sure.
And then she's like, and one time I did smoke crack.
Oh,
turns out you can't smoke a cocaine cigarette. It's not a thing.
Oh.
What is this?
Oh my
in
God.
In Sherman Oaks. And then her
a
quote.
Cocaine cigarette.
And her whole thing is, you know those people that get into comedy and they're like, well, we're all fucked up. That's why we're comedians.
Oh, no, I know.
She goes, well, I'm Snow White with an edge.
that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
And what does that mean?
No, and then you this like, was my favorite. I want to get it tattooed. I'm just obsessed with her. She'll,
of course.
Yeah,
yeah,
I want to be
your next
this
character.
Woman. Exactly.
Well,
goes,
I want you to be her. I want you to go do stand up
as
her.
Yeah, she goes, well, it's taken 3 years to become my own beloved.
That's literally something that Tom and I would say to each other.
Oh, like, my God, like, that's delicious.
3 years to become my own beloved.
And she said it like some girl did something and it wasn't landing, and so she was insecure.
Like, I hope that means, worry. Like, to become her own ghost, like the Toni Morrison.
I know that's how it feels. Book. Right, of course, it's a Toni Morrison. I am my own beloved.
Oh, my God.
And she only wears white, tight pants.
Oh, comedy.
Yeah.
I love that, like, all this personal information's coming out in your class. I mean, are they asking you to, like, reveal?
Well, it's a female. It's only women. Oh, my God. So it's a lot of, like... most of the women just really want to do a one-woman show.
Uh-huh.
And they think stand-up's the end.
And they're completely different.
Completely different animals. So everyone's just, like, telling all their, like, trauma.
Oh, my God. Liz Feldman. Do you know we know Liz. She's so great. She did a sketch of the Groundlings years ago where she played this woman named Trudy Cantor.
Oh, my God.
And it was Trudy Cantor's stand-up comedy for single, recently divorced, and widowed women.
That's this class.
And I remember, like, Stephanie Courtney and Kristen Wiig and a bunch of people were in it.
Oh, my God.
And they all got up. It was, honestly, I could have watched it for 3 hours because they all got up and just revealed the saddest information. Right. Like, Kristen just got up and kept talking about how she was like, yesterday I went to the movies, but it would have been better when my husband was there. And Trudy Cantor would be on the corner and Liz would be dying laughing and clapping along like you're watching her showcase. And there was no jokes. It was literally the darkest information.
Right.
Like, Stephanie was this bitter divorcee.
Of course.
And, like, Ariane Price was like, hilarious women.
Oh, God, yes.
And they all were just doing, like, there was no comedy there, but Liz's character just was like, yes, funny, get it out.
I want to watch a whole night of that. I want to watch that show.
I remember it being like, I was doubled over crying laughing because it was just like, yeah, you're just like, there's no reason, not even spinning it into comedy gold.
No.
Get up there and tell your darkest, angriest thing. Yeah. And then just, yeah.
This class.
And write a check to this crazy teacher.
Like a crazy amount of money. Yeah, it's like, well, you know, my personality disorder.
and you're like, no.
No. And also, I like it, and why I'm staying is because there's nothing funnier than when, like, a woman tells a really bad joke that she thinks is so funny. You know, and you're like...
Of course. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Because I always, like, well, I might think, maybe I'll get something done if I sign up for a class.
That's,
and it doesn't matter how shitty the class is.
That's literally why I'm doing it.
So have you found that it's been productive and you got some stuff?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Done?
No, but that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so worth just doing stuff sometimes just to, like you both have said, get it going and doing it.
Yeah.
And you always will learn stuff and you will never forget this information.
And you find delicious people.
And, I mean, you know, you're working at the Groundlings, too, and you need to come up with characters and find characters. And it's like, there's nothing better than, like, when people just hand them to you on a hot plate.
That cocaine lady is a gift.
Yes, please. Beloved.
My own beloved.
Oh, my God.
And I think she, and then, yeah, oh, I'll show you pictures when we're done.
Die.
Spike hair.
Oh, yeah.
Really strong eyeliner.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Yeah. I'm with the white pants.
I
found her on Facebook. She has, like, you know, like 12 jobs.
Great.
One of which is life coach.
Yeah, life coach, I'm agent, sure, manager.
Animal husbandry. Yeah.
Real estate.
Sort of dog walking. Yes, real estate. Oh, definitely real estate.
Always real estate.
Reiki.
Why do people who are life coaches seem like they're hanging on by a thread?
Oh, it's like physician, heal thyself.
No, because okay.
It is. It's that
this
thing is, where you're
this
like.
This actually did happen recently. Know. I worked an event on Monday for Refinery 29. They're doing, they wanted us to be comedians. But really, very broad.
Yeah.
We're supposed to give, like, career advice, but everyone thought we were life coaches. And all the people at the event were, like, 19-year-old YouTubers. And they'd come to you being like, help me.
Oh, my God. So what did you do? What were you able to do?
Well, I was nine. My friend, like, told someone to quit her job and another person to move in with her boyfriend. I was like... It was just, it's like some of these people have like eyelashes out to here and like fakest tits.
Yeah.
So 19. For 19.
And a boy bra, a strong boy bra.
And I'd be like, well, what's your work ethic like? And like none, zero.
Yeah.
And how are they making so much money?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand.
That's the thing too. You're like, I would say you're 19. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Yeah.
I mean, just live your life. Like, yeah. Figure out, because, like, I mean, also, like, the more I go in, like, I've gone in, I have to give advice to people, and I'm like, the older I get, the less I know.
Make some bad choices.
Make some bad choices. Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of fuck where it ended up
and,
going.
You know, yeah, exactly. Because you're going to, also, like, you're going to sit in this room, and you're going to nod and go, oh, cool, oh, cool, and you're going to do whatever you want to do
right,
anyway.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, this hot girl was like, I'm worried, I want to do a video about mental health. But my
why?
But my followers are, you know, 16 to 20. I don't know if they're going to get it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And like, you're 19. Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, you have to get it first,
yeah.
Lady.
Yeah.
Ma'am, 19-y.
Yeah, 19-y.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, who has a story or a revelation who wants to tell me? Who wants?
I don't know. I was trying to think, and the only thing I came up with that I thought of might be of interest is that...
Sure.
I just wanted to come out of the closet of never having seen Titanic.
Whoa. Oh my God. Wow.
What?
Really?
Like, I think I've seen bits and pieces
sure.
here
well,
and there.
You can't avoid it. I mean, of course, because you saw
it. I never saw it.
How?
At the theater. I've never sat down to watch it. I've never.
Now, okay, so.
I kind of want to, like, you know, people
you
like auction
life?
Off their virginity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of want to, like, auction off, like, who
the
gets to
screening.
Watch it with me
yeah.
for the first
yeah.
screening or something.
It's a beautiful yeah. film.
Now, who was The Ship of Dreams?
The Ship of Dreams.
Heart of the Ocean.
Celine Dion's finest
now,
moment.
Finest acting.
Finest acting.
She's singing. Great in it.
Yeah. She really is.
Now, where were you? Where were you when it came out? Do you remember?
Let's see. When, did it come out in the
94? I
want to
say 90. It was, no, it was like 97.
97. Yeah, that's actually too accurate.
I know, I know.
You know I think I was yeah. at Moorpark College, which
uh-huh.
is a community college out in the 805.
Yeah.
Just north of here.
Uh-huh.
And I remember everyone was going to see it. And then it became a thing of like, oh, I didn't see it. I'm not going to see it. It's
uh-huh.
too trendy. I don't want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird.
That's
like,
so
why
weird.
Have I just watch it. Like,
right.
I feel like part of me doesn't know about the thing that everyone in the whole world knows about.
Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of like other like bigger, better movies. That I mean,
movies
it's always
were
that
better.
They were better.
They were better.
They were better
than.
Movies are better than. Are you drunk too, Chloe?
A little. The coffee is.
Movies were better than.
Did we not have iron senses of irony back then? Because
I think that's
it's a terrible film, right?
It's uh-uh. not terrible. Uh-uh. I will
okay.
say that.
No,
I will
I've
say
seen it like 5 times.
It's not amazing, and you will, and especially now, if you watched it, you'd be like, "Why am I more? I don't watch this."
Yeah.
It is. It's beautifully
it's
made.
Beautiful.
It's incredibly well made.
Yeah.
I remember Kate Winslet, of course, being great in it,
great
and
in it.
Leonardo DiCaprio was great in it,
and there's a sex scene.
There's
whoa.
A great sex scene.
Are there boobies?
Oh.
There's a hand and steam.
There's strong adult situations.
There's strong that, and I was at the age where I was really. Excited by that.
Oh, yeah.
When it
yeah,
came
yeah,
out.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was a little steamy.
It's hot. It was,
and
where were you? How did you?
I was in college too. Okay. I was at Wake Forest. And I remember, I remember watching it with a group of friends. And but we were also, because, you know, you and I, we were at the right age to make fun of everything. I mean, like, you know, it's like, why would we go see Titanic?
Yeah.
Like, we'd be more likely to go see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if we were 10 years younger than when we were, like, 20 and watching this, you know, and being like, you know.
I just remember, like, it was also a cultural thing of, oh, my gosh, I'm obsessed with the Titanic. Like, oh, no, like, I'm a Titanic junkie. I'm a Titanic historian.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
All those people.
Oh, yeah, that was
uh-huh.
disgusting.
That was
the,
disgusting.
The movement around it was
yeah.
horrifying.
I really wanted, because she has that necklace in
uh-huh,
the end.
Uh-huh.
I wanted, they were doing like knockoffs.
A Hot Topic or something?
It wasn't, it was like Marshalls or, I don't know. And I really was upset that I never got one.
You're younger than we are. How
old? A little.
How old,
I'm 28.
How old. Okay.
So I was
so, yeah,
like,
so you're, like,
I was
yeah,
like 10. When
especially,
it,
yeah, exactly. And so
yeah.
you're very much younger than us then.
Yeah, and like deeply in love with Billy Zane.
Oh, well, that was what I was going to say. Billy
yeah,
Zane's great
so
in it.
Those brows.
Billy Zane is so perfectly cartoonishly over the top villain.
Villain.
And he's having the most fun. He's
yeah,
he's like the
tell.
Gina Gershon of Showgirls. Like he's the one person
oh,
who
okay,
gets
great.
It.
Yeah,
great.
Who's
totally.
Like, I know what I'm in.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
what I'm doing. And I did a Funny or Die video with Billy Zane a few
really?
Years ago. And he was so exactly what you wanted him to be. He was so great. He came in like late you know, in the day and he had all this luggage with him. And he was like in like a fedora and like a trench coat. And
this is making me horny.
And he came.
Oh,
he's so,
so
sexy.
Hot. He knows what he's doing.
And he came in and he was like, "Hi, I'm Billy Zane," and I was like, "Hi, I'm Drew and Drew. Nice to meet you." And I was like, "Yo, all this luggage." I was like, "Where have you been?" He goes, "Bangkok." And I was like, "Of course you've been in Bangkok. You've just gotten off the plane from Bangkok to shoot a Funny or Die video because you're Billy fucking Zane."
Billy fucking Zane.
And he was exactly what you wanted to be. He was funny as hell. He totally got it.
Yeah. Oh.
He's also wonderful in this movie called CQ. Coppola, Roman Coppola made this film, and he's amazing in it. And he plays this like bisexual or maybe gay, like just act. He's talking about sexy.
Yeah, he's sexy.
You gotta watch this movie. It's
Why
so
do
good.
I sexy associate guy. Him with like gay, sexy rumors in the 90s? Did he do some movie where he was a gay?
Well, he has a gay sex scene in CQ, okay. But it's very over the top and real, but really fun. I don't know.
Wait, did you ever see Orlando with Tilda Swinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in that, isn't he?
Is he in that?
I think he... Oh my God, I think they have sex in that.
Okay.
I have a thing for him.
Well,
and that movie is amazing.
That movie's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's really great, but he did a lot with Gina Gershon, actually. Like, they were like brother and sister in some crazy sexy movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. I don't know. He's kind of everything and for everyone. You also have in Titanic, you have... Kathy Bates.
Yep.
You have Gloria Stewart, who gives, you know, who's the, you know, the heart of the ocean. She's 112.
112.
Who's the redhead lady that...
Frances Fisher.
There we go. Yeah.
Who's all, you know,
99 Seat Theater, Frances Fisher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Equity screaming Frances Fisher. But she's always doing something great. She's always great. Who else is in it? Bill Paxton.
God rest his soul.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's I would say it's entertaining, but it's just like anything. It's like La La Land or one of those the movies that everyone loves. In the moment, you're like, I don't want to like this just because everyone's fucking talking
Which
about it.
Which is why I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
either.
But I hate
skip
it.
That. You can skip
yeah,
that.
I hated
it's
it.
It's so dull.
I really hated it.
It's so aggressively nothing.
I was
nothing.
So angry.
Yeah, it's not good.
Here's what I hate about, like, oh my God, it's a musical. It's just like, you've never... So I guess you've never seen a musical or been to one.
No, that's a
thing. So you're like, wow, what a novel thing. Yeah. No, I've actually seen a quality musical.
No, it's as someone who loves musicals, it really irritated me.
Yeah,
It forgets it's a musical an hour into the movie, and then there's this... The ending is the best thing in it, and then it's fine. It's just one of those things that, like, I saw it, and I was disappointed, and I was like, that wasn't very good. Mm-mm. And then by Oscar night, I hated it because... Right. Of all the talk about it and everybody going on and on about how amazing it is.
You had something really funny. You were like, ooh, white people dancing.
Oh, that was because...
Which is very accurate.
In front of the Pantages Theater, there were three... posters. Oh. I didn't say why. I was straight people dancing.
Straight people dancing.
Because it was the La La Land poster, the King and I poster,
right.
And an American in Paris poster.
God.
And all three posters are just a straight couple dancing on the poster. And I was like, oh, wow, entertainment.
Give them what they want.
Thanks, 2016.
Yeah.
I'm done with the straighties taking the gay art forms and making them and reappropriating them.
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, oh yeah. Why was there not a gay person in a musical about
LA in 2016?
Yeah. I know. Where was drug problem? Where was AA? Where was?
Well, and black people were props.
I know.
I mean,
they were
like,
literal
props. John
that
Legend is like barely in
barely
it, and
in
like
it.
You know. And, you know, white people are explaining jazz. There's a lot of problems in it. It was just really... And more than anything, it was very medium. I mean, it's not the worst movie ever made. And, you know, and Titanic is a better movie than La La Land.
It's a truly good
Because
film.
Titanic is like a masterpiece in filmmaking.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You're like, it is like... You know, but it's not like a movie where the script is garbage.
And they struggled. Those actors were in water for hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dying. Like, the behind the scenes was deeply fascinating.
I can't imagine being, because it was back when, like, the extras would have to really be in the fucking water.
And they'd be hit by waves for, like, 8 hours.
Oh, Jesus. And Jim Cameron, who was just, like, such a nightmare.
He's a nightmare,
like a slave driver.
Jessica Alba, like, tortured her. Or Elliot. No, it was Jennifer Garner. I just hear he's, like, a really intense director.
Yeah. Everyone talks about it.
Stay in the water.
I know.
Stay in the water.
Oh, there was a thing, it was like Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, she talks about in The Abyss, how he it almost, or was it Ed Harris, like, won't ever work with them. All these people
right, and Kate Winslet, like, he made her lose
them
all
again.
This
like,
way.
Yeah. Like, I'll never work with you again.
Yeah.
You do one thing with them. And...
Mm-mm.
He's like the George Lucas of the 90s, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just like... exactly. Just churn it out. Makes, you know, but...
and like can't actually come up with story, but insists
right
on...
and doesn't care about acting. Like that's the thing too.
You are most
props. Actors like are like you don't care about my well being. You don't care about my performance.
My safety.
Any of that.
Nope.
You only care about making a this spectacle of a movie.
Right.
And you know that people that come and watch it aren't going to care about me. And I'm getting all this money to do this, but I'm not being taken care of emotionally or physically.
I'm traumatized.
On any level. Like, the thing I love about my job has been crushed and murdered right. for a paycheck. I think that's kind of what everyone sort of says about that.
Oh, I feel like that in general these days for everything.
I know, everything. Yeah. I know.
Just crushed.
Constantly
just,
traumatized.
How's your pilot season?
How's your traumatized?
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Okay. I'm just thinking about that. We're talking about musicals. Did you feel? Did you know everyone's doing that dumb musical survey?
Oh, I haven't done it. I have too many. I just it's too complicated for me.
And then people were like coming out against it and saying, instead of saying filling out surveys about which musical we hate, we should celebrate artists. And I was like,
God.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're literally doing.
That's literally
also,
what you're
somebody
doing.
Else on Facebook posted the other day, like, instead of doing that musical survey, we should be talking about what's going on in Syria and Russia and focus on the world. I'm like, you know what? We are doing that.
Yeah.
We have to do all of it right now.
I need a break.
I need a break. I have to, I get why people are doing it because we need something. Like, everything is hitting us so hard right now.
All
it is so painful and terrifying to be alive right now.
It is.
And I'm sorry, but occasionally you need the diversion. Occasionally, I get why you're on Candy Crush. I get why you want a fucking unicorn frappuccino. I get why you need something childish and innocent and stupid to take you away from the horrifying reality of planet Earth.
And it's happened before.
And like, you're not a good person by scolding other people.
No, you're ruining fun.
We should be, And you're like, you are not, like, you've said nothing interesting.
It's always those people.
You know, you're just a critical person, you know. And the musical thing I have a hard time with because there's so many... And I have different, I feel like I'd have to explain all of my choices. And then there are things that I would forget about. I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, there's that one. And
well, I made my own survey and I would just like musical that made me gay. Joseph and the Amazing Technique. musical that I forgot the lyric. Just like making it about everyone. Like, musical you forgot the lyrics to. Assassins. musical where you went off stage for the hard dancing part. Hello, Dolly. Like,
now, were you in Assassins and you forgot your words?
I did in college.
Oh, my God. That's
why did you do it, Johnny? That was
the Leslie Uggams of, More Park College.
Well, that's when I got to UCLA. I also forgot the lyrics too, but it isn't my fault. I was given those beans.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah.
By the way, Into the Woods, the Amundsen right now is incredible.
Really?
Really?
I love that musical.
It is so good, and I love that musical too.
That's one of the
and I was sitting, I was with my arms crossed, and I was like, I was really skeptical because I was like, I don't want to watch these. Hipster, because it looked very much like a company of actors puts on hats and plays that Into the Woods.
Oh, like Our Town does in Into the Woods.
Yeah.
It is so brilliant. It is so well done. I was sobbing by the end. It unearths things in that play that I never heard before. And I've seen that show 6 or 8 times, you know, when I've in the movie, and I know it really well. I've listened to the soundtrack a bunch. Like, I know that and love that show. And I was like, this illuminates so much about where we are in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
They added this like really beautiful queer storyline between Jack and Milky White. White is a character.
Oh my God.
And they haven't added any words. They've added no words to the show. They haven't changed anything. But Milky White just says moo and he's this like really cute guy and Jack's in love with him. And there's a line where Jack's mom goes, well, you know how children can be queer with their animals. You know, and they kind of look right at the audience like, deal with it. We're in love.
Wow.
And so when he sings Goodbye, Old Pal, it's like you're sobbing because you're just like, they're in love.
I have chills. I'm buying
and
tickets right
it's
now.
It's so good. And the stepsisters double as the princes. And so there's all this really interesting gender stuff that they do.
Oh my God.
It's so, so good.
Oh my God. I have
it's
to see this.
Beautiful.
Music's good.
And and they do it all on piano. They do it all like, it's just a beautiful, it's a wonderful
there's
show.
There's no orchestra. It's just
a piano. And on stage, and the actors who play bassoon and random instruments on stage.
Oh, it's one of those.
Oh, cool.
So, and they're good. I promise you they're good.
Okay.
And the thing is that none of them are, like, what I like is that it's definitely a company of actors who are playing and really smart
You know, I want to really be in this staging. So bad right now.
The singing is great, but it's not like powerhouse belty, but it's like, it's very much like, it feels very acoustic, the whole
That's
thing.
Beautiful.
And it still works. And I normally hate that stuff. I can normally look at that stuff and be like, you ruined my favorite song.
Fuck you once.
You know, when you have a favorite song and they deconstruct it and ruin it apart. What's like 9 to 5 the musical? Yeah, that's I could easily say that's the worst one I've ever seen because it starts and they ruin the song 9 to 5 at the beginning of 9 to 5 the musical. You're like, you can't fuck with 9 to 5. That's a perfect song. Just
do it. Press play.
Yeah. Press play.
Press play.
Yeah. Press play. Thank you, Dolly. Then start the show.
So
I can be very precious about things that I love. And it is.
That's
so
like how they ruined Mary Poppins.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh my God. It's a dumpster fire of a musical. It's like,
wow.
Do you literally, because in college, one of my jobs was directing musicals at a K-8 school
yes.
in my hometown.
Yes.
And I stole Mary Poppins, put it up on stage. Dick Van Dyke came to the show one day. Got up on stage and sang "Let's Go Fly a Kite."
Oh my God!
Unprompted,
that's so amazing.
I wept.
Of course you did.
Because one of the kid that was playing him ran into him in Thousand Oaks and was
God.
Like, "Come see me play you."
Oh my God!
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, how
I was
can you not?
Weeping.
What an amazing thing.
I just took it and you put an intermission in it and you just do it. It's a perfect musical.
Also, Mary Poppins is hands down my favorite Disney movie. It's so dark.
It's
so beautiful and it's.
Yeah.
And Julie Andrews is incredible in it. And, like, it really I'm not a huge Disney fan at all, and I love Mary Poppins.
Even the Fast Forward song, you're like, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
It's so creepy and beautiful.
Yeah.
But, like, all you have to do is put it up. But I saw it in London, and I spent a lot of money, and I was so excited. And they, like, put in, like, an evil nanny, and it's, like, the battle of the nannies, and the children were just assholes the whole time.
No.
And they, like, they ruined Supercalifragilistic. They added all these new songs. You're like, I don't need any of that.
It's just perfect.
Just put the movie on.
Just
stage.
Do the movie. Don't ruin our
That's
dreams.
That's how I felt. I didn't like Lion King. That was
I've never seen The Lion King.
I had a weird experience.
The Lion King.
Someone got like really good tickets. So we were like second row,
mm-hmm.
but you can't see anything.
Right. I was going to say that with a show like it's such a spectacle like
you
that.
You can't see anything. So the whole time you could like maybe see their top of their heads.
Yeah.
And then dark addition was like one of the guys who we went with was actually a pedophile.
Oh.
Know this before after?
Or during?
Well, my parents are very like, open. My dad was like, so we're going to go see
circle.
The Lion King.
I touch children.
The
circle of life.
Oh my God. Like I was like in fifth grade, and they were like, "Yeah, so he was like convicted."
Wait, your parents are telling you this during the show?
My dad he's never had a filter. So we were with a family friend, and she brought her brother, and her brother is a fucking pedophile.
Oh, okay.
With
great.
A history, who's
so
let
you
out?
So find
of
this
jail.
Out as you're
as,
like,
I'm like
as
getting
I'm
my
sitting
seat.
Down. Okay, okay, great.
And I'm like, don't sit him next to me.
At a show where they're going to be a lot of children.
It's a children's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just learned about what that was. You know, when you like find out. I was like 11, I think.
Oh, that's way too young to find out about that. No.
It was so fucked up.
This is crazy.
This is so crazy.
So that really doesn't happen. You could have seen anything.
I could have seen anything but sitting near a pedophile.
You were just like watching The Lion King terrified.
The whole time I was. And then because I'm such a weirdo, like the whole time I was like, what is his face doing? Like, what does a pedophile look like?
Oh, I'm sure. Because the actor in you comes out.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I have to study this.
Right, of course.
No, you never have to study a pedophile.
But yeah. I know, but that was the thing about, I was so fascinated by anything deviant, and you know, when I was, you know, because it was that part of me that
I need
to know about all about that.
Oh, of course, of course. And my aunt was like, he's not a pedophile. He was just caught with photos or, ew.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, maybe the, I don't know.
I don't know. I would never defend, I would never fucking defend a pedophile. I'm just
you can, if you get arrested for urinating in public, it's the same, it's like the same conviction or the same whatever in the books as
it's a sex offender.
Offender, right? And so then you can't live anywhere
that's
near
so
children, even if you're just like drunk.
I need to remember that because I have publicly urinated way more times than I am.
Yeah, like
happy for.
In Germany, I think you're allowed. I remember when I lived in
I'll
Munich,
let you could do anything.
You can be drunk and urinate on the street.
Okay,
there.
Okay,
so
good.
Enjoy
good.
Berlin.
I can't wait.
So
whip
fun.
It out
whip
and
it
let go. I've done it before, and especially like in LA, you're like, oh my God, I'm in my car all the time, mm-hmm. and I have to go, you know, and like no public
restaurants.
There's no restaurants.
Starbucks open right now.
You know, exactly. Yeah. And I have to go. And I'm like, you know, I mean, that would be just my luck, would be like, now I'm a registered sex offender right, because great. I tinkled outside.
Outside
my God.
A sandwich shop in Burbank.
You know, yeah. Oh, my God. Perfect. Oh, my God. That's so crazy. I have not seen The Lion King either. I saw like a very strange, like, Commedia dell'arte play
cool.
Julie Taymor directed, and that is all I've seen of hers on stage.
Didn't she do Orlando a little bit? Isn't she behind that?
No, that was Sally Potter that did it.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, but she... I find her wildly overrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what?
And
completely.
Batshit insane. Yeah. And I just don't want to go anywhere near her.
Because I remember in college we had to study her before The Lion King came out. We went and saw a talk with her at LA Central Theater stage or whatever. Is she the queen of appropriating other cultures and making them
puppets? That's pretty much that's what she does.
She took Balinese shadow puppet theater.
Right.
Took it to Broadway.
Literally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's similar to like, you know, when I love Madonna, but Madonna did that with the drag balls and the Vogue balls, rather, not the drag balls, the Vogue balls. And was like, saw Paris is Burning, and then like, a couple years later, Vogue came out, and, you know, and it's like a thing where it's like, it takes a... You know, like a white person to like go after a culture and be like, "Hey, I invented this thing.
Yeah.
And who's gonna come after me?" And some of that I'm like all about if it's interesting, but like I just feel like when it becomes really gimmicky and like for The Lion King, I totally understand the choice of doing that.
It's like...
But I'm also like there are a couple times that I feel like she's gotten the best of her. And like that Spider-Man thing looked like a fucking mess.
Nightmare.
Pieces I saw from that, I was like, is this really a show? Or is this a joke? I mean, this looks like, I mean, it was like, it looks absolutely insane. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And also from all accounts I've heard, she's just a living, breathing nightmare. And no. I'm sorry.
Well, I need to ask you this. What do we think about like Lion King? And I was just reading a thing about Miss Saigon, about the Vietnamese girl actually wrote about how it's such a garbage trash show and, you know, it's all about the white savior, et cetera, et cetera. We have these shows that are sort of reappropriating other cultures, exploiting other cultures, but at the same time, they're the ones that are all the non-white actors are now in shows, and like Miss Saigon, like there's so many amazing Asian American actors that are not getting to do Broadway should, and like
in the middle. I can be on both sides of it. I think that it's when a show can introduce culture, and I feel like it goes across the board, and I think the closest thing that we can understand on a personal level is when something is gay and mainstream, and we go, that's so not how being gay is, and why are we all accepting that as the gay thing now, and and when it's like we'll also argue it's straight people or, you know, like whatever, but on the other hand, it's introducing something that that most people would never come across, and something like Miss Saigon, there are better ways to tell that story, I'm sure, from a more authentic place than something that, you know, French and English people, white people would know, like, you know, what Boubile and Schoenberg and Andrew Lloyd Webber, right? No.
Boubile and Schoenberg. It's the
Les Mis people. Yeah, the French people, yeah. And that did Miss Saigon. And I'm like, yes, so... But there's another part of it, and I will say this to gay people, we're never happy. So, like, what do you want?
There you go.
What are you saying? You know, and it's like, so, you know, it's like, you know, in the show that we just closed, our director did colorblind casting, and so we've been praised for that, but then there have been other people that are like, what's the point of it? Like, why? And we're like, the point is so that we're not making a point of it in this particular production.
But
our director didn't want to limit actors of color in this show, and it's a crazy, splintered reality, drag, over-the-top camp show. So he was like, there's nothing natural about this. We don't have to believe these people actually have to look alike to be a family.
No.
And that was his creative decision.
Right.
But then there are people on the other side going, well, why? Why would you... You know, why would you cast a black woman as your daughter? I'm like, well, I'm playing a woman, and that's this production.
It's not real.
It's not real. And she's amazing. So shut up.
Yeah.
So it's like a thing where you're like, But, you know, I just think I get really, I think we love to be unhappy because it's easier to be unhappy and feel, you know, jilted and triggered than actually like do our work.
And write,
and like, actually do something. And it's like, well, then tell a better story, you know, then then tell the story that's that is more authentic, you know. It's, you know, I mean, I would say like it's obviously not the same story because it's a different time period, but I saw the show Here Lies Love at the Public, and it's about oh my God,
the Philippines.
Yes,
I really want to see that.
Who had all the shoes?
Yes, Imelda
Marcos.
Yeah,
so it's about Imelda Marcos, and it's you know, an all Filipino cast. It was incredible using media, and it had, you know, it felt so authentic, and it was like you're in a dance club. The whole show was, there was no seating, you were in the club, and they would do it all over around you. And it was incredible, and it was wildly, you know, it was, you know, one of those shows that was like, people loved it across the board, you know.
Yeah.
But then you could argue, well, nobody was talking about it after it was done. And like, is that, you know what I mean? Like, everything has its place if it's good, if something's not like overtly, you know, offensive. And then we've also learned, I mean, that's like, so you can go back in time and say, well, it's not okay. There are plenty of musicals, to go back to that are like, I mean, I think Annie Get Your Gun is insanely racist and insanely misogynist. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, you could argue like, well, no one else was putting Native American characters on stage or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, give like, everybody
Can we tell the story in the can you enjoy a love story or a heightened thing in the context of this time period when these certain stereotypes existed? Can it still be done today? It's like, I don't know. What do you do? Just shelve
I just think
Miss
that,
Saigon,
like,
or?
I just think that, you know, like we have to have space for all of it, and we can't be like shutting things down. It's really scary because it goes into the line of censorship.
Yeah.
When we go, oh, that's not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like somebody, you know, started a message today. I'm sure I don't care. Bring it. I know who's going to come after me for starting this, opening this can of worms. But somebody mentioned on Facebook the other day, and she said, I identify as female, but I'm genderqueer, I'm butch, I'm lesbian, and I'm wondering, is it ethical for me to submit myself for trans roles or genderqueer roles for, like, F to M roles? And I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you're not exactly that, but... oh my God, the best actor should get the role and the most authentic actor.
Yeah.
And so if it's someone who is not those things but can pull it off with respect and with truth and authenticity, then yes, that's who it is. I'll always go back to like Bill Hader in The Skeleton Twins.
Yeah,
gave one of the best like portrayals of a gay character I've ever seen in a movie.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't care that he's not gay.
Right.
He's a great actor and gave an amazing performance.
Yeah,
so
he did.
I don't care if they're good.
Yeah, that's
it really comes down to that for me.
Are
I'm like,
you
do
good?
I believe you?
Yeah.
You know, and there are people that are like, no, because you're not exactly blah, 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 blah.
No.
And it's like...
the whole point is to be entertained.
Yeah.
For movie. I mean,
I find myself yelling at myself in my bedroom alone at night.
Oh,
being
God.
Like, well, they would actually cast gay actors in the gay roles.
No, I know.
But they won't.
I know. Sure.
So they cast a straight guy, but then now the straight guy's doing the impression of the gay, but we can't play the straight parts because no one will let us do that.
Right.
So it's like, it's not a two-way street.
It's
but there's no way to actually say it without saying like, well, then you're saying you should only play gay parts. And
right.
So it's like, there's no really winning the situation.
There is no way winning the situation. I also think we need more diversity. We need more roles for gay people, Vietnamese people, trans people,
absolutely.
You know, fill in the blank, everything we're talking
about.
And the other thing is that we need to be on the other side of it in terms of creating the roles, because what I've talked about on here before, so many of these roles that we're writing and roles that gay people are writing for gay people that are terrible, that I'm like, well, you may as well get this to a straight person because there's no nuance to this. There's nothing that we're going to be able to really nail that somebody who's not straight
It was always, yeah. We're always having to audition to play straight people's idea of what they think gay people are.
And a lot of those roles are written by gay people, so it's our problem as well, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but
because we're writing them because we want to please the straight people.
That's the
and
problem.
And we don't want to be, we don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to make this character too gay. It's our own shit. It's our own hangups, too.
Well, as I become, as I've turned into a man who wears dresses made of garbage on the internet, I find myself.
Which are the best things ever. If you haven't checked out Link Look for Less, you must.
Oh my God.
Check it out at Tommy Lank on Instagram. Oh my God, you guys, follow me. But it's, you know, in some ways, and I look at like talking about the YouTubers, like, well, my audience won't like this. Like,
my audience
is 85% women.
Yep.
And so sometimes I think about like, well, what do I represent to them? Do I represent like their gay best friend that they wish they had, or the sort of like, do you play into that idea? Like, if this is now sort of turning into a business, do you lean into that and go like, this is what straight people expect me to do, and that to be a smart business person would to lean into that or whatever?
I also think what you've done with that is that you've totally turned the haute couture and fashion thing on its ear, and you're making fun of women. I think what I would gather why they love it so much is because the pressure that they feel, they look at these models wearing these $6,000 dresses and all this crazy expensive jewelry, and they're like, I could never have that life. Why are you even putting this in a magazine? Like, it's accessible for me or real for me. And you're saying, I have a bag of potato chips and, you know, some PVC tape and some, you know, I mean, what you've done with Oreos to make mascara and all the amazing stuff that you've done.
The thing is, like, that, like, it's all garbage.
It's
like,
all garbage.
Like, that $6,000 dress is only that much because someone
charged it for it.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
My dad used to say that to me, like, we used to collect comic books, and he's like, something's only worth it because someone would pay that for it.
Yeah. Right.
It's Emperor's New Clothes.
And I never really got that as a kid, but he's so right. It's like, and so I think there's that as well, that they love the, you know, and you're so charming when you're doing it. You're not angry about it. You're not fuck you about it. You're literally like this person, you know. And I love that the real people that you've modeled like come for you and love you for it.
I'm not making fun of the women or the actors that I'm doing.
Most of the time they're put in these terrible things and they're going, are you kidding me? Look at what I have to fucking wear tonight.
But also I love some of the stuff they're wearing.
Right.
It's crazy. So anyway, I like that it's sort of a celebration, but also pointing out the crazy beauty and fashion standards that women deal with on a daily
Well, that's
basis.
The same that I've had with my Chloe videos. It's the exact same thing of love and hate. Because I've been like, I love this world. I'm fascinated by this world. This world's ridiculous. Yeah. We need to make fun of it. And I think that, and I also just think it's like, you know, do what you do.
Well, I was going to say also, I can now no longer complain though when I get an audition for sassy fashion designer, because like, oh, I made this dress out of garbage and now I have to wear it.
I did this to myself now. Oh, I completely.
So it's fine. Like, okay, I get it.
I know.
So
I know.
In some ways, it's actually made me less dead inside, like part of me's come back to life. to where
it is,
I'm like,
when you've created something on your own, it does rejuvenate
a
big part.
Well,
and it's like now I can go on those auditions or play those parts and be like, yeah, it's fine. I'm part of the problem now.
Right. I also just think like when those auditions are like, you know, third or fourth priority in your life, it's way more healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and you're like, oh, 100%. Okay, I have an audition. Cool. I'll go and, you know, and you and I and, you know, a handful of, you know, maybe 10 other people are the same people we see in all the rooms. Yeah. And I'm always like, it'll go to one of us. And I hope it goes to great, good, move on.
But also like, hi, welcome to being any minority.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, welcome to being a woman. Oh, really? Yeah. I said that to someone. I'm like, oh God, it's like, hey, like, can't wait to do all the heavy lifting and let the other person get all the laughs. And my friend Christine once was like, hey, welcome to being a woman.
Yeah.
On a sitcom.
Have you seen a sitcom? Every woman has to be so hot and has to walk in and basically go, this is awkward.
Let me set this up. So
you boys calm down. Yeah, I know.
Like, do you get sick of that in things that you're having to audition
for? Yeah, that's why I make my own stuff. Yeah, I find being a hot girl, but not that I go out for, but just like, it's never, for me, it's more boring. It's the cute girl, which is like death. Like adorable.
But you're like from another time period. That's why like you're a throwback. That's why I was like, no, you'd be so great in a Charles Bush play because you understand style. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, that's so, and that's something that very few people your age or mm-hmm. or mine or, you know,
yeah.
even get.
What's the description in like an audition or a character that you read that you're like, "Oh god, this again." Like just like that makes you crazy.
I think it's like I'm from San Francisco and like my friend's in town and she's like always naked. And I think, which I'm like,
of course,
she's just, right. It's just always naked. That was how I was raised. So I actually cringe when it's like, you're going to be the crazy girl. Like shows her
Dharma.
Pussy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Your tits and you're just,
and you're like big fucking deal.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the free the note. Here's my pussy roll. Which I'm into.
So you need to stop auditioning. Yeah. Penthouse, vivid video.
Yeah. Anything like topless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've always, I hate like the wild and crazy. That's
yeah,
why I've,
that's,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent my entire first podcast talking shit about Jenna Elfman because I hate that fucking, I hate like contrived wacky.
Yeah.
Like with a capital H. Like yeah. wacky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's insane. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh my God, it makes me so nuts.
No.
It's like, that's not a person, number
no.
one. And that person needs to be institutionalized.
Totally.
Slash, they're not interesting.
Yeah. When I first moved out, like roles, I was actually noticing a pattern. Which I was into was being the Asperger's sister, younger sister of like hot Maxim magazine people.
Okay. Oh, you know why?
Yeah, why?
It's probably because there's you know, they're the different types. And, you know, they have there's like the Zach Galifianakis type.
Yeah, and then they're like the sibling.
And there's the, you know, and there's the Aubrey Plaza type.
Okay.
And that's probably why, because she's like carved out that like dead inside sort of, you know, I'm going to have zero reaction to everything that's happening.
Yeah,
I'm going to be really like too cool for school.
Yeah, off.
Because that's what they want. They always want like an Aubrey Plaza type. And you're like, that's kind of, we've talked about it on the show before, literally her before. And we're like, that's what she does. Like,
right,
I don't understand.
I know, it shouldn't be
It's so
same.
Hard to ask somebody else to do that.
And I know.
So like, no fun.
Do you think Aubrey Plaza is like French Stewart or somebody, or you know, like where she came up with a, because like why was his character all that his eyes were closed? Like, do you think she just came up on this and just like, I'm gonna be negative and bored all the time as a character and that's what stuck, or do you think that's just
her thing?
Her, is that authentic?
I don't know. I think it's like, yeah, I think it's like a, you sort of like, you find this persona that's working and you just sort of exaggerate it.
Yeah.
When you realize it's working.
Or is she like that in real life?
I mean, like, I've always just been like, I've always just tried to do my own thing, and it just has not been on nearly that big of a scale. But I'm always like, well, the most successful when I'm just me, when it's just how I do it.
That's
as opposed to trying
you.
To do what I do, what other people. But like, you know, for years, I was always like, oh, I have to do this other type of thing. Mm-hmm. And like, so I just, I don't know. And then, but then there are things that I definitely am like, oh, I'm exaggerating my own thing.
Yeah.
You know, just to, because I know what,
well, that's fun.
If that makes any sense.
Well, I started thinking, how can I give myself like a really weird, marketable personality?
Yeah.
Don't, no.
No.
You already
no,
have
you
a
can't.
Perfect
that's
personality.
Not, like, that's the most.
It's not. Yeah. Well, that's what they
and
try to
so
do in these roles.
I know,
that's what
and
they
it's
try
so
to
obvious
do.
When they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Quirky odd.
I know, exactly.
Best friend.
So we're, but we're running out of time very quickly. But Chloe, I want to find out a minor revelation.
A minor revelation. Yeah. Okay. I'll make it. So half my family's from Baltimore.
Okay. Oh,
and
yes.
I have this aunt who grew up, she like evolved with John Waters. So
oh
I'm
my
like,
God. Now you're telling
me
this?
I'm sorry. I should have jumped
oh
in.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my
I
God.
Can tell
okay.
short.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to know all
well,
about
so,
it.
Well, so yeah, here's my favorite one that I realized. There's a long story, but here's the short. When I was a kid, my aunt would always tell us a story about someone who ate their own poop. And as kids, we were like, how? They didn't die? How do you do that? Tell us a story about the poop eater.
Oh, my God.
And it was
God.
A woman. And it was she's talking about Divine.
Of course.
This whole time. Yeah. And like,
wait,
to tell
who was
it
your
again.
Aunt? Who was your aunt?
She was a... I have two aunts. Well, two of them. The one I'm talking about, it was a dancer in New York.
Okay,
and, like,
course.
Is always, like, in Pilates pants.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's just friends
she's
with John
always
Waters
talking about her pelvis.
And I love telling you as children about...
We were, like,
pink
six.
Flamingos.
We were talking about pink flamingos as six-year-olds.
Oh, and she didn't God. Die. He yep. made her eat it. Can I eat my own poop?
That's so bizarre.
Oh, my God. Can is she you? Still friends? Like, do they know?
They didn't. So, okay. So, my story was that my So I have my hippie aunt, who I do as a character sometimes, who, you know, Michael Shubrin.
Of course.
She came to a show and was convinced he was straight and was like determined to hook us up, which was so embarrassing. She's like, he thinks you're adorable. You know, and I'm like, no, that's his part. He's like with his boyfriend. And she's like, no.
So I'm a hippie, but I get these things.
So she lives, really in touch with she talks to spirits, and she is isolated in Palm Desert.
And has zero gaydar.
Zero gaydar.
But, Palm Desert.
Yeah, she's in Palm Desert. So I thought I was going to have like a cool trip with my hippie aunt. And I went down to visit her in Palm Desert recently after Trump got elected. She goes, we women need to stick together. We're in trouble.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay,
so she's like, I got you a futon.
God.
Yes,
please.
So I like drove down all excited, and she's a Buddhist. And she's like, I got people here who want to meet you. And I go, okay. And I go in. So as soon as I go in, it's like a spotless home. Like there's nothing messy. It's not free. It's like very regimented.
Right.
And she starts chanting. And I like take an Instagram video. She gets furious, you know, because you're not supposed to
like
video.
A weird Japanese bastardization.
Yeah, I knew it was. Yeah, and then she's like, we got to watch the news. So I'm like trapped in a desert having to watch like horrible, dark. I thought it was going to be chill.
I know. No,
and,
I know that's
you know,
like
she's
zero.
Like, yeah, she's like, Hillary looks beaten to shit.
But as women, we need to stick together.
Yeah, we need to stick together. And then she's
so
like,
let's just watch the news and talk shit about
Hillary. And then,
she's
like, they're from a hate planet, those Trumps. They're from a planet of hate, and they were sent to Earth, like, just weird.
No.
So I'm like, okay.
Here's the thing. They're from our planet.
Yeah, they're from our planet.
Until we deal with our planet.
And we created them.
Yes,
yeah,
we sure did.
We made them.
So let's deal with that.
So just as I'm like, I think I'm going to go, like, find the one Starbucks that's in this area, 12 Buddhists arrive. And they like set up chairs and start chanting. And they're like, Nama, dong, 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 dong. And they're all retired. And they look at me and they're like, chant, chant, chant. And this woman's like, you know, you brought yourself here.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, it was like a conversion.
Oh, wow.
And
now I've never gone to a Buddhist chant. I have my next door neighbors to do it. I have a lot of people that love it.
Totally.
It never seems so culty as this.
This
sounds.
Was so fucking
because it always
weird.
Sounds like, because like Buddhism always seems such a, like a beautiful thing. You find it on your
own. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't really believe in like seeking out and telling. I mean, people say like they've really dark times in their lives with like prison or addiction or whatever. Yeah. Someone introduces them to it as a salvation.
It was more that they were like sharing their wins, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing was like, I would have been into it, but the woman who ran it came up to me and she's like, so you do comedy? And I was
like,
no, yeah.
I don't
and then
talk
she
about
goes like
right
this.
Now.
She goes, well, you know, comedians are just retired actors.
What?
No, I'm sorry. Comedians are just frustrated actors. Like that was her way to like buddy up to me.
Well, that's not going to work.
No. And then.
Also, like, not true.
Not true.
Also, like, you're in Palm Desert.
I'm in Palm Desert.
Chanting around a table.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, there was an old Chinese woman who kept calling me Choli. My name's Chloe.
She'd be like,
Choli, Choli. She'd be like, Choli, I had no money.
I didn't understand what you were saying.
She'd go, Choli, Choli, I had no money. Next day, fight check in the mail. Buddha. I chant to Buddha.
Oh,
and like was giving me all these papers, and then there
it
was
seems
this,
like the opposite of what
I know.
It's all
I was
about.
Like, this is not what
like
Madonna talked about. This isn't the like celebrity thing that I was going to find on my own. And then there was this really tall guy who looked like he had stopped drinking a bottle of wine like an hour before he got there. And he like it was like snacks, and he just brought a large bottle of alkaline water from Trader Joe's.
Contribution.
And
oh my god, I love all of these characters.
And my
aunt, it's a short film.
It's a short. I know. I was like, oh, this is a, like I feel like I'm in Transparent.
Yeah, completely, completely. Yeah,
I love it. And my aunt's like, what do you think of him? He's a healer. He goes, real sexy, isn't he? Real sexy.
Ew, trying to set
she
you
was
up.
Trying to fucking
so many
set.
Layers, so many things
it's
going
so
on.
It's so fucked up. She was trying to set me up, and I was like, absolutely not. He's 65. His son is like my age. And we took a walk afterwards, and she goes, yeah, we tried dating, but men like that just want sex all the time.
Oh,
and she's like passing it.
Oh my god, you.
No. To me.
No. Please.
It was like that was like the first time I've ever really been uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also you're just like, I don't feel safe.
I felt so unsafe.
And not for the reason I thought it was going to be. And
there were gems. Like she was like, you know, men like
that. You need to go back to your aunt who loves John Waters and leggings.
Yeah.
She's way safer.
She had a really fun way of talking. She's like, John Waters was a freak.
Of course.
We're all freaks.
In the best possible way.
Yeah. They were like always doing poppers.
Yeah, of course.
Which, by the way, the Beverly Center escalator smells like poppers right
really?
Now.
Really?
And it's been confirmed by other people.
Really?
Poppers. I don't know why.
How strange. Oh my God.
Sorry.
I've only done poppers like on a dance floor before.
They all talk about that.
You know, whatever. I don't really kind of get it.
There was a place called the Pink Hippo in Baltimore.
Oh,
and that's where they all did poppers.
I mean, I could sit and listen to Baltimore John Waters stories forever about
insane.
How they would just take speed and go to the movies.
I know.
And go and watch like, you know, like Louis Buñuel movies for like hours and hours. And they were just like renegade trash nerds, like brilliant. And they all were friends. It was
they all made these things.
They had no idea what they were doing.
No idea.
John knew what he was doing. And the rest of them were just like, this is fun. Why not? You know.
Yeah.
And, oh, I love it. I love
it's
it so much.
Time.
I wish I could be that original of a person. You know,
him?
He just seems very authentic and original.
Because
you've seen him, right?
I remember being
in one of your classes, and you're like, I saw John Waters last night.
Oh, I've seen. Yeah, I've seen him live a bunch of times.
That's amazing.
And it's just he was of a moment. Like you just couldn't create it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that. I mean, I interviewed him. And I was like, what's you now? Like what's and he was like, oh, there's not really that. And he was talking about bitcoins. He was like, he loves kids that do bitcoins. He was like, that's what I would have been doing.
Right.
Credit card fraud. You know, and he's like, you know, but he's like he kind of was, you know, but also a man in his 60s is like, I'm going to hitchhike across the country.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Like in his 60s and like as a famous person, you know.
Well, that was my aunt I visited in the desert. That's how she got to California, was hitchhiking. Just get in a van.
God.
With a dog. Get high.
Oh my God.
That was her quote. This is my favorite quote. She goes, your generation is so uptight. Back in my day, it was smoke a joint, drop acid, and repeat.
Oh, I want to go back to those days. That's all I want to do. I just want to smoke a joint, drop acid, repeat. Get in the van.
I've maybe hitchhiked once, and it was scary.
Oh, I would never do it.
Yeah.
I could never do it.
Yeah, and
that's
it was like two blocks, and I felt
weird. Like, let me out here.
Yeah, please. I'm fine.
I can't do it.
It's so weird.
Well, you two have been absolutely lovely.
Awesome.
We're out of time.
Perfect.
I mean, thank you all so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my God. You guys are both
good
wonderful.
Good luck on your pilot season.
Good luck.
It could still happen.
Still happening.
I'm hopeful for it.
I haven't looked at my phone in an hour, so maybe I got a pilot. I don't know.
Those are all callbacks, all those notifications on your phone.
Those are all callbacks.
You guys, I'm doing a prosthetic fitting across the street right after this.
Oh, my God. I want to thank my guests, Tom League and Chloe Fineman. This has been another episode of Drew Droege's Minor Revelations. Have a week.
Feral Audio.